Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we start learning the halachas of Melacha on Yom Tov, Part 1. This is Siman Tzadi Ches, the 98th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to learn today in Part 1 on the topic of six ideas, and that is six concepts: melachas which are allowed on Yom Tov, cheese, butter, and milk on Yom Tov, grinding and crushing, wood and fire, sorting and sifting, and kneading on Yom Tov. Let's jump straight in. Melachas on Yom Tov. So are melachas, are forbidden labels disallowed on Yom Tov? So the answer is yes. All melacha which is forbidden on Shabbos is also forbidden on Yom Tov. Can one ask a non-Jew to do melacha on Yom Tov? The answer is the same as Shabbos. You may not ask a non-Jew to do melacha for you on Shabbos. Can one allow one's animal to do melacha? The answer is same as Shabbos. You're not allowed to have your animals do melacha for you on Shabbos. So how does Yom Tov differ from Shabbos? So the Torah says it very explicitly. It says, "Ach asher ye'achal chol nefesh hu levado ye'aseh lachem." That which is for eating for the soul, for each person, for the soul, that itself is allowed for you. So that means to say anything which is related to food preparation is allowed. So what does this include? In general, the Kitzur summarizes by listing five melachas which are allowed, and they are cooking and baking, kneading, slaughtering, that means shchita, to get food, and then the remaining two are carrying in the public domain and lighting a fire. So how did we get here? So generally speaking, we understand that all melachas that relate to food production are biblically permitted, but the rabbis, the Chazal, limited it to the scope of these five primarily. Why? For two reasons. One is because they only allow the white melachas which are commonly done on a small scale, not a large scale, which includes these. So as an example, harvesting, even though its food production is done on a large scale, is not allowed. Or another way of looking at it is anything which is, if it were to be done before Yom Tov instead of on Yom Tov, would diminish the impact. So let's say I were to cook on Erev Yom Tov, the food would not be the same as it would be on Yom Tov, therefore I'm allowed to cook. But let's say sorting, barer, if I had to do that before Yom Tov, then it really wouldn't make a difference. I should really do that before Yom Tov. That's generally the rule. Now, is there a difference in the flexibility of these five melachas which we just discussed? The answer, the Kitzur says yes. The first three, which are the cooking, baking, slaughtering, and kneading, the cooking and baking is the same. But those three are only allowed for food preparation itself, but the other two, which are carrying and lighting a fire or transferring a fire, are allowed even shelo letzorech, which means even without the need for food preparation, as long as there's some need of Yom Tov as well. So I may carry my talis to shul as an example. However, the other three can only be done specifically for food preparation. Mishnah Berurah allows this principle of mitoch shehut l'tzorech, chutrat nami shelo l'tzorech, that if it's allowed for the need of food, it can be used for other needs, even to all of these five melachas which are allowed on Yom Tov. So generally the rule is that on Shabbos there are 39 prohibited categories, and it seems like the way the Kitzur is framing it is there are 34 on Yom Tov, because these five are excluded. What is an example of using mitoich, of where one is allowed to do one of these melachas for the sake of Yom Tov, even if it's not for the sake of eating? So I may carry my talis to shul as an example of where it's not for food needs, but I'm allowed to carry. And this is where there's no Erev, one would be allowed to carry the talis to shul, but one may not carry the talis or siddur back from shul because there's no need for that on that Yom Tov. And therefore, that is considered shaloi letzarech. That's not considered a need. And of course, this is an area where there is no Erev. If there's an Erev, one would be able to carry like one would carry on Shabbos if there is an Erev as well. But if there were to not be an Erev, Yom Tov is not a carte blanche. I can carry anything I want. I can carry things I need for the needs of Yom Tov, and therefore needs to be assessed in each individual situation. May one light a yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov? The Kitzur actually says it's a bad idea not to, because although it is a important thing for the yahrzeit, but it's not specifically related to a Yom Tov need. If it also provides ambience and light, then it would be allowed. Move to our next topic, and that is cheese, butter, and milk. May one make cheese on or butter on Yom Tov? The answer is no. Why not? So one does is by adding rennet to the liquid, which therefore helps it chemically separate, which is considered boirer, and putting it into a mold is a concern of boirer, so they're not allowed. May one skim cream off milk on Yom Tov? So technically speaking, one cannot take off the cream exactly. One needs to take a little bit of the milk or leave a little bit of the cream on top, so it's not considered separating, and it can only be done for the use on Yom Tov itself. What if it'll spoil if I don't separate it? Then if spoilage is concern, one can ask a non-Jew to skim the milk correctly. We move to our third concept, that is grinding and crushing. So this is called toichen. So generally speaking, we know this is not one of the five allowed melachos which were discussed in the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, but so he's going to tell us some of the ways that there are leniency. So may spices be ground on Yom Tov? So if grinding them on Erev Yom Tov will mean they have less taste, they're less pungent, then it may be ground on Yom Tov, but it must be done with a shinui. So there's leniency. It's not a carte blanche heter, even for food preparation. What's an example of a shinui or doing it differently? So that would be, let's say, one tilts the mortar sideways or pounds it on the table. This is less frequent today, because less common, because we usually buy our spices pre-ground from the store. What about grounding coffee? So the Kitchel says one may not ground coffee with a regular grinder, but it can be pounded unconventionally. That's on the counter. How should horseradish be grated on Yom Tov? So one can grate it not directly into a dish like one usually would do, but it would be one could do it onto a tablecloth, and that would be fine. Should grinding be done before Yom Tov if possible? So the answer is yes. If the food does not lose flavor, then it really should all be ground before Yom Tov. And if forgotten, they may be done in Yom Tov in an unconventional manner. That's sort of the leniency within the melacha of toichen, of grinding. Once it's allowed, are there any other limitations? So yes, it can only be grinding specifically for that day's needs, and preferably only for the current meal. So you can't mass produce, mass grind more than you need. What about breaking down matzah, which is already pre-ground, because it's ground and now made into a baked product? So even that, the grinding, there might be a concern over here, and one should avoid even breaking down matzah on Yom Tov into, like, let's say, matzah meal. Move on to our fourth concept, that is wood and fire. May one split wood or gather scattered wood on Yom Tov as fuel for a fire? The answer is no. Splitting, which is simply unnecessary, and also, if broken down small, could be toichen, or gathering, which is ma'amer, wood is forbidden. How must wood be arranged for a fire? So we need to avoid it that there's two large parts of pieces of wood on either side and another piece of wood on top of them, or the pots on top of them, because that would create an ohel. That would be making an ohel, which is not allowed on Yom Tov. So one would have to rather suspend the top briquette or the pot and then place the other ones underneath it, which is an unusual way of doing it. Is there a difference in the way one blows, let the fire on Shabbos or on Yom Tov? So one is allowed to obviously blow with one's mouth to create enough oxygen, but one should not use a professional bellows if one's using a bellows. And a domestic bellows is only allowed if used unconventionally, like being used upside down. Move to the next concept, that is sorting and sifting. How many legumes, like let's say beans, how can you sort them on Yom Tov? So one cannot use a sieve or by soaking them in water for the chaff to do it, to separate, but one can do it by hand. How should one do it by hand? So one can take off the dirty parts that one doesn't want, the chaff, or one can pull out the good parts. One doesn't have to do it in the same way. Shabbos is the leniency within borer, within sorting, that one can even take out psoles mitoch ochel, the bad parts from the good parts on Yom Tov. How may flour be sifted on Yom Tov? So flour can never be sifted. Flour which has not been sifted may only be done by a non-Jew with a shinui, unconventionally. What if it was already ground? So flour which was already, if it was already sifted, flour may be re-sifted, but only by a non-Jew or unconventionally. Let's say the sieve is upside down. Can I take the bad parts when it comes to sifting? The answer is no. One may not remove the psoilus, in this case, the pebbles or the large crumbs. One has to take out the good. Okay, moving on to the next topic, and that is kneading. Lisha. This is one of the allowed melachas on Yom Tov. So yes, one is allowed to do this. However, one has to be careful to avoid measuring. Measuring is not allowed on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, so one cannot pull out one's measuring cup to measure exactly how much flour one's doing. It can be done approximately. When should dough for noodles or falafel be prepared? So that actually is better to be done in advance because it tastes better when soaked. So therefore, one should do the kneading on Erev Yom Tov. If one forgot to, then one can do it in an unconventional manner when it comes to on Yom Tov itself. When should foods that do not spoil, like dried food, be cooked? So they should be cooked on Erev Yom Tov because they're not going to lose anything by being done then. If kneading dough on Yom Tov, may one take challah from it? So yes, the challah may be taken, but it can't be burnt or baked on Yom Tov, so therefore, or even handled once it's taken. So the moment one takes the challah portion out of the dough, one places it in a safe place and burns it after Yom Tov. If one kneaded the dough on Erev Yom Tov, may challah be taken on Yom Tov? The answer is no at that point in time. So if it was kneaded on Erev Yom Tov, one takes that dough, one bakes it, one eats the whole bread except for a corner that's bigger than the amount that one needs to take for the challah. And then after Yom Tov, one would separate challah from the remaining part of that bread. May clay be mixed on Yom Tov? The answer is no, not even by a non-Jew. That type of elisha is not allowed. It's not related to food preparation whatsoever. So how does one seal the openings of ovens? In those days, they used to have like ovens which are clay, and you take a little bit of like mud to seal the area around it. So one has to be very careful. If the clay or the mud had been prepared before Yom Tov, and so it's not mukza, and it was already mashed up together with the water, then that is technically fine. But one has to avoid the concern of memarech, of smearing it out, so it which is a concern even under these circumstances. This concludes the first section of the Melachos on Yom Tov. Tomorrow we'll enter the second section of this rather long siman of 98. With this, we conclude, have a wonderful meeting.